The broken door of the Dragon House swung on its hinges. The inmates, already as highly strung as a harp on amphetamines, were going mad. Little gouts of flame burst against the metal plates as they stampeded back and forth in their pens.
"What," she said, "is the meaning of this?"
If a ramkin had ever been given to introspection, she'd have admitted that it wasn't a very original line. But it was handy. It did the job. The reason that clichés become clichés is that they are hammers and screwdrivers in the toolbox of communication. The mob filled the broken doorway. Some of it was waving various sharp implements with the up-and-down motion proper to rioters.
"Well," said the leader, "it's the dragon, in it?"
There was a chorus of muttered agreement.
"What about it?" said Lady Ramkin.
"Well, it's been burning the city. They don't fly far. You got dragons here. Could be one of them, couldn't it?" "Yeah, it's right. QED.
Some rioters can be quite well educated.
"So what we're going to do is we're going to put them down." "That's right. Yeah.
Pro bono publico."
Lady Ramkin's bosom rose and fell like an empire. She reached out and grabbed the dunging fork from its hook on the wall.
"One step nearer, I warn you, and you'll be sorry," she said.
The leader looked beyond her to the frantic dragons.
"Yeah," he said nastily, "and what'll you do, eh?"
Her mouth opened and shut once or twice.
"I shall summon the watch," she said at last.
The threat did not have the effect she had expected. Lady Ramkin had never paid much attention to those bits of the city that didn't have scales on.
"Well, that's too bad," said the leader. "That's really worrying, you know that. Makes me go all weak at the knees, that does."
He extracted a lengthy cleaver from his belt.
"And now you just stand aside, lady, because—"
A streak of green fire blasted out of the back of the shed, passed a foot over the heads of the mob, and burned a charred rosette in the woodwork over the door. Then came a voice that was a honeyed purr of sheer deadly menace.
"This is Lord Mountjoy Quickfang Winterforth the Fourth, the hottest dragon in the city. It could burn your head clean off."
Captain Vimes limped forward from the shadows. A small and extremely frightened golden dragon was clamped firmly under one arm. His other hand held it by the tail. The rioters watched it, hypnotized.
"Now, I know what you're thinking," Vimes went on softly. "You're wondering, after all this excitement, has it got enough flame left? And you know, I ain't so sure myself."
He leaned forward, sighting between the dragon's ears, and his voice buzzed like a knife blade.
"What you've got to ask yourself is, am I feeling lucky?"
They swayed backwards as he advanced.
"Well," he said, "are you feeling lucky?"
For a few moments, the only sound was Lord Mountjoy Quickfang Winterforth the Fourth's stomach rumbling ominously as fuel sloshed into his flame chambers.
"Now look," said the leader, his eyes fixed hypnotically on the dragon's head. "There's no call for anything like that. In fact, he might just decide to flare off all by himself," said Vimes. "They have to do it to stop the gas building up. It builds up when they get nervous. And you know, I reckon you've made them all pretty nervous now."
The leader made what he hoped was a vaguely conciliatory gesture, but unfortunately did it with the hand that was still holding a knife.
"Drop it," said Vimes sharply, "or your history."
The knife clanged on the flagstones. There was a scuffle at the back of the crowd, as a number of people, metaphorically speaking, were a long way away and knew nothing about it.
"But before the rest of you good citizens disperse quietly and go about your business," said Vimes meaningfully, "I suggest you look hard at these dragons. Do any of them look 60 feet long? Would you say they've got an 80-foot wingspan? How hot do they flame, would you say?"
"Dunno," said the leader.
Vimes raised the dragon's head slightly. The leader rolled his eyes.
"Dunno, sir," he corrected. "Do you want to find out?"
The leader shook his head, but he did manage to find his voice.
"Who are you, anyway?"
he said. Vimes drew himself up.
"Captain Vimes, City Watch," he said.
This met with almost complete silence. The exception was the cheerful voice somewhere in the back of the crowd, which said, "Night shift, is it?"